The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. What a show we have today. Dave Wyman's going to join us at 1:30. A Seattle radio legend is going to join us at 12:30 this afternoon.
Great.
Yeah. Because, you know, it was 10 years ago today.
What?
Balloon Boy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so...
why does that feel like it was longer than 10
years
ago? You know,
that's what I said because... Tony Miner, our news guy,
yeah.
The story broke right as I was going on the air at noon, and we're following this, and in case people don't know about this, so there was, the story was a six-year-old boy had climbed into this helium balloon that kind of looked like a UFO, and was flying through the sky in Colorado. And all of a sudden, everybody's scrambling. They've got live pictures of this balloon. And the dad is saying that the little kid...
His name is Falcon.
Falcon was inside this balloon. And we started doing updates. But then we're watching the live picture. And so Tony Miner just came in. And we just kind of co-hosted the whole thing. And I had a listener who started sending me these fantastic... calculations of how big the helium balloon would have to be to have a six-year-old boy inside of it, how much helium would be needed to provide that much lift. And so we were the first media outlet in the country to thoroughly debunk, while everybody else was breathlessly reporting, that the kid was going to freeze to death at 10,000 feet.
I remember.
Or the balloon was going to come crashing to the ground and the kid was going to die. And so we definitively were saying, there's no kid in that. And then it turns out...
it was all a hoax.
Not only was it a hoax, but the dad said that, oh, he was sure that Falcon was in it, but Falcon was hiding behind a sofa because he was afraid because he had released the balloon. And then the dad and Falcon go live on CNN, and the dad says, why didn't you come out when I was calling you? And the kid said, because you told me not to.
I was on Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah. And the mom and dad had just concocted this hoax because they hoped it would get them a reality TV show. So anyway, it was truly one of the most memorable broadcasts of my career. So Tony Miner's going to join us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Our dear friend.
I love Tony.
Yeah. So I texted him this morning. I had the same reaction as you, Ursula. About 7 o'clock this morning, I texted him and said, do you realize Balloon Boy was 10 years ago today? And he said, that was our finest moment. But as I was writing it, I was thinking, that feels like it was 15 or 20
years really
ago.
It really does. Maybe yeah. We've just, yeah.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on in the last 10 years.
Yeah, there has been. That's for dang sure. So we'll take you down memory lane with our buddy Tony Miner coming up at the bottom of the hour here. But we got a lot of news to talk about. Let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Hey, good news, kids. If you can't pass the test that's required to graduate, we're just going to give you a diploma anyway here in Washington. Let me read to you the lead graph in the My Northwest story. High school graduation requirements are potentially about to change in Washington. Students will still be required to take federally mandated exams. They just won't be required to pass them. Yes! Yes, the dumbing down of our children finally is nearing the bottom. So because so many kids are not passing this mandated exam, the schools are freaking out because it's hurting their graduation rate, and all they want to do is pass kids through. I don't know about you, but it wasn't that long ago. It was a long time ago since I was in school, but there would always be that one or two kids who had to be held back and had to do an extra year of high school because they didn't graduate. Well, now it'd be 50 or 75 kids who would be held back, or maybe even more likely would just drop out. And we don't want kids just drop out because they have to actually have some sign, some measure of achievement. So we're just going to let them graduate, even if they horribly flunk the test. And a few weeks ago, the head of the Washington Education Association, it's all about the children, they tell us. You know, that's the thing. These teacher unions, every time they go on strike, we're doing this for the kids, for the quality of education. And it turns out the quality of education isn't just going downhill. It jumped off a cliff without a base jumping chute. It's all about the children, the WEA. They talked to Seattle's Morning News a couple weeks ago about this.
Yes. We fought long and hard for fair compensation, professional compensation for educators across the state. And there's probably some pockets out there around the state that didn't make the gains that a lot
of... But you're generally happy.
Generally happy.
Yes, because they got more money. It was all for the children, right? But that raises the question, why isn't our children learning? Well, it's pretty easy to answer that. Because government-run schools are failing our kids in so many ways, where so many kids can't pass basic graduation requirements, they just lower the basic graduation requirements. And I loved some of the comments on our My Northwest story. The first one, if you laid out a plan to destroy a country from within, allowing students to remain stupid would be near the top of that plan. But of course, the more kids we have, and by the way, there are a lot of kids who are diligent and high achievers, and we have a lot of schools that put out kids who go to outstanding universities. But we also have an increasing number of kids who can't do basics of math or spelling or anything when they get out of the schools. Another commenter, yet private school students not only pass these tests, they kick public school booty in knowledge competitions and bowls. Public school teachers earn significantly more than private. Look it up, I did. This means the root of the evil is administration, government regulations. We've got to find out and fix it instead of simply throwing more and more money at it. Now, we are throwing more money, but not at educating kids. It's just going to teacher salaries. Here's one thought. Maybe, just maybe, instead of spending all of the time in schools on social justice issues, instead of spending all of your time on the nonsense of climate change, the cult of climate change, and teaching our kids to be terrified to attend school because they're going to be mowed down in another slaughter, all perpetuated, as I've said, schools are about the safest place a child can be in America, statistically speaking. But our schools have become leftist indoctrination academies, where imparting social justice values and virtues in their warped view is more important than teaching kids. And the result? We have to dumb down graduation requirements. But again, government-run schools have a motivation to crank out stupid people. And why? Because the stupider you are, the more you have to rely on government for your life, for your livelihood, to get you a minimum wage job, to take other guys' stuff and give it to you. Yeah, there is an absolute government model for wanting to have schools that teach kids to just be social justice warriors and not be able to pass basic minimum standards. And so that's where we are in Washington now. They are going to, and they say that they're proposing this. They're going to do it because they simply are failing at educating the kids. Every time the teachers go on strike or threaten a strike for the students, they are lying to you because the kids are not achieving at a level that is anywhere near what should be acceptable in a society like ours. Look at what European kids know versus, oh, geez, we had a neighbor a few years ago. They had an exchange student. She was 14 years old, and I sat and talked with her. They had a barbecue one night, and this kid was the most whip-smart 14-year-old I'd ever talked to, and, you know, spoke fluent English, accented English. And I asked her, you know, about all this, and she's told me what their schools demand of them. And then when you're 16 or so, you're either on the university track or you're on the trade school track. And if you're not a great student, they still provide a pathway for you to earn a decent living. So we're so screwed up here. But that's the new solution. Since kids are not passing the mandated test, we're just going to not use the mandated test as a graduation requirement anymore. Brilliant, isn't it? Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
So while government's screwing up our kids in our schools, they're also trying to conspire to take more of our money. And it is now very close to implementation. I've been telling you about this for decades. And the State Transportation Committee is about to turn every single road in our state into a toll road. They say that they have now completed the pilot project where they had 2,000 volunteers who reported their mileage. And the state, on a dummy basis, they said, okay, you're going to pay 2.4 cents per mile. Instead of a gas tax. Well, the gas tax is not going away. Not for decades, because they got a bunch of projects that are bonded against the gas tax. And so it would be illegal to phase out the gas tax. What they want to do is they want to turn every road into a toll road. So how are they going to monitor how many miles you drive? Well, they could check your odometer, but that is not the approach they want. They want to put a transponder in every vehicle in the state. And it will track where you drive and when you drive. And the reason is because they tell us it's going to cost 2.4 cents a mile. And that is the nose under the tent. But their stated goal, and they don't make any bones about this, is what they call variable tolling. And so it may stay 2.4 cents a mile when you drive to your local grocery store or take your kids to school. But if you want to drive into downtown Seattle, it could be $25. In Virginia, it's a $35 toll to go into Washington, D.C. now. And that is their goal. If they have a transponder on your vehicle, they can tell you, yeah, if you drive I-5 or 405 morning rush hour, then we're going to charge you $2 a mile. If you drive at midnight to your friend who lives 8 blocks away, then it'll be 2 cents a mile. But they want to know where you're driving when. They want to, are you going to let transponders? You going to let government put a transponder in your car? Because I've told you that this is all going to come down. I've now signed a long enough contract extension that it's all going to come down while I still have a radio show. And this will be the fight of my career. Because if we allow this to happen, it will be the biggest money grab in the history of the state. Even bigger than Sound Transit. They want to transfer tens of billions of dollars to their control through this tolling system. And, of course, the ultimate goal is for the anti-car zealots, they want to punish you if you have to drive a vehicle to live your life. If public transportation doesn't allow you to, you know, coach your kids' basketball team or get your kids to piano lessons, you can't take public transportation. Maybe you're a tradesperson. You know, you have plumbing tools or drywall tools. You're a carpenter. You can't take public transportation. They want to punish you if you have a suburban family life, if you have a tradesperson life. That is the ultimate goal, is to either get everybody on public transportation or to absolutely financially destroy people who still have to use their cars. I hope you're in this fight with me, because it is going to take a massive effort to hold this back, because when they see billions of dollars at stake, they will stop at nothing to get that from us. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
I'm going to go into this in a little more detail a little bit later, but there was a big press conference yesterday. A couple of local tribes, the Yakima and Lummi tribal leaders, they want three dams on the Columbia River removed. And the Yakima Nation Council chairman, Jody Godey, explained why.
We have a choice, and it's one or the other. Dams or salmon.
Okay, so you can have, they claim, the choice is you can have lower cost, clean electricity or salmon. As you know, I go salmon fishing up in Sitka, Alaska myself, so I love the salmon. But am I the only one? If the option is cheap, clean electricity or salmon, I take the cheap, clean electricity. And I love salmon. But if that's the choice they're going to put out there for us, I bet I'm in the minority on that one, though. You can let me know. 98973 is our text line. 98973. And I'll go more into detail on that a little bit later this afternoon. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to take a trip down memory lane. 10 years ago today, one of the most bizarre radio broadcasts I've ever had. I'll tell you about it next. I want to take a trip down memory lane a little bit with you today, because it was 10 years ago today when we had one of the most bizarre stories I've ever covered. It all unfolded live during my show, Shepard Smith reporting.
A little boy flying along at some 25 miles an hour, according to the reporting of of 9 News in Denver, which is the NBC station, just floating along, and the chopper's following along with it, and no way to get him down, and with the word that the thing could stay up there for hours or days if it's not leaking helium, that a hard landing would be a very difficult thing because the thing is not all that stable and it's not meant to have a human being in it, certainly not a 6-year-old boy.
So that was the report, that a big helium balloon, a 6-year-old boy had crawled in it, and it's flying through the sky. And we had to cover this live during my show, and I was so thrilled to cover this story with retired Seattle radio legend, Tony Miner, who joins us 10 years later here on the Tony Monson Show. Hey, Tone.
Hey, Dory. How you doing, my man?
I texted Tony early this morning and said, do you know this is the 10-year anniversary of Balloon Boy? I mean, and it, I actually thought it was probably longer ago than that. This is one of those cases where I thought it was 20 years ago, probably.
Well, this is one of those stories that will never leave you. You know, I remember this vividly. That day was just insane. It was crazy. Number one, that balloon, Dory, do you remember? It looked kind of like a UFO or something.
It looked like a cross between a UFO and a Jiffy Pop after he'd been on the stovetop.
It did. And inside is this little boy, and he's hurtling through space. I think, didn't he go across like three counties in Colorado or something like that?
And yeah.
He went across three counties. So we thought, we didn't know if this kid was going to go way up in the atmosphere or not, or is he going to come crashing down to Earth? And so, I mean, it was nuts. We're doing a blow-by-blow until the thing ended. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, and so we're also thinking, well, the kid could freeze to death up in this balloon. Like you said, he could pop the balloon and come crashing down. And I just, I'll never forget that, because you were coming in and doing updates, and Fox and CNN were live, and then you and I just pretty much sat in the studio the whole afternoon and narrated these live pictures of this balloon flying through the sky.
And then the thing finally comes down to Earth, if you remember, the big Jiffy Pop thing.
Yes.
Came back down to Earth, and we thought, oh, my God, is the kid okay? What's going on? Was he able to breathe up there? Is he hurt? And they look all through the balloon, and guess what? The kid isn't there.
But you know what I was really proud of, Tony? I truly think we were the first media outlet in the country to say, not definitively, but almost with certainty, that there's no way the kid was in the balloon, because I don't know if you remember this, but a listener started emailing me, and he was sending all of the formulas for the lift of helium and the weight of a six-year-old boy, and he said, there's absolutely no way that a balloon that size has a boy that's whatever they said he was, 50, 60 pounds. And he sent us the formulas of how big the balloon would have had to have been. And the guy was so awesome with his calculations that I think an hour before the balloon came down, we were saying, there's no way the kid's in the balloon.
Well, I do remember that, Dory, and I'm not surprised, because, as you know, during your show, frequently, we were on the cutting edge.
That's right.
It was award-winning stuff. It was award-winning stuff every single day, and I'm not surprised that we knew that way ahead of time. And we beat the national media on a daily basis.
So. Exactly. Yes, we did. And then, yeah, the truth of the matter was, here was Wolf Blitzer's description of it.
Falcon was really in the garage this whole time. I don't know if Falcon can hear me, but was he, because I know at some point he fell asleep in that garage, but he was hiding out because he thought you were going to punish him for something that happened earlier in the day. Did he hear anything? Did he hear you screaming out, Falcon, Falcon?
He's asking, Falcon, did you hear us calling your name at any time?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
You did?
Why didn't you come out?
You guys said.
That's where we found out the dad made this, because he has the boy on live TV and says, why didn't you come out? And the little kid said, because you said not to, obviously.
Yeah. Well, on further review, didn't it turn out that mom and dad were aspiring reality TV people?
Exactly.
And they wanted their own reality TV show or something like that?
Wasn't yes.
that the deal?
And so they said that the boy was hiding, that they really thought he was up in the balloon. But it turns out that they just manufactured the whole hoax in the hopes, like you just said, of getting their own reality show. And the kid busted them on live TV when they talked to Wolf Blitzer. And it was just...
They deserved it, because talk about loser parents to not only do something like this, but to drag your kid into it. I mean, come on.
I wonder if anybody's done an update 10 years later to see what's happened to that family. I need to look into that.
Well, something tells me they didn't get that big reality TV show.
Yeah. So. The thing I remember was the arc. I think it was almost a three-hour story arc, and it broke right as I was going on the air, and then we found out about the hoax right as the show was ending. So it was just a perfect three-hour arc that just fit in our show ideally.
Well, you want that to happen every single day on your show, right, Dory?
I know. Why don't you, in your retirement, start coming up with some hoaxes that I can report on, Tony?
Oh, we we can do some fake news.
No, there's plenty of that elsewhere these days, believe me.
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have so many fans here in our Cairo audience. How is life in retirement? I know how it is, but tell everybody else.
Well, you know, believe it or not, Dory, it's been 6 years, almost to the day since I walked out the door there at Cairo. Hard to believe it's been 6 years, but life is good. I'm super busy. I'm involved in the maritime industry and with a couple different things that I'm doing, and not having to drive to Seattle every day, which is really good. I'm doing a travel podcast.
Nice.
It's been picked up by 14 or 15 little radio stations around the state called Exploring the Northwest. So I'm doing that as well, chasing a couple grandsons around and trying to stay out of trouble. So I'm here to say that there is life after radio, I guess, and life is good.
I know. I've told you many times. I want my retirement to be as happy as yours is. That's awesome, man. Well, 10 years ago,
I appreciate it.
10 years ago is when we made radio broadcasting history, Tony.
And it's something, Dory, that I'll never forget, my friend.
Okay. Thanks for popping on with me. It's really good talking to you.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Okay. Seattle radio legend, Tony Miner. 10 years ago today, we covered Balloon Boy. All right, text me. What do you think about all this? 98973. That's 98973. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Getting a lot of comments from you, a lot of comments today on the text messages and all of our topics, but on the one that the state is going to remove the criteria that kids pass a federal test to be able to graduate because too many kids were failing it. So, I mean, you can't make this up. A lot of people are referencing the movie Idiocracy. A lot of people are commenting, and it's about 50-50 on my assertion that this is all by plan, that the dumber the kids we crank out, the easier it is for government to control them, especially after 13 years of them being brainwashed by the government on social justice issues. And then a couple people said, so is it your contention, Dory, that kids who don't graduate are dumb? Absolutely not. There are an awful lot of people I know who have dropped out of high school. And by dint of incredible work ethic and street smarts, and they just weren't book smart, that they've succeeded. But in general, it is unquestionable that when you take all of the kids in the state, by any measurable standard, our kids are coming out of school in general. Now, there are exceptions to everything. And as I've said, the exceptional kids who go to Ivies and are becoming computer engineers and robotics and all of that, the STEM kids, there are a lot of extraordinary kids in our schools. But at the bottom end, if we don't have any standards because kids cannot meet the standards, that doesn't mean all those kids are dumb, but it means that the sum total of that group of kids is much dumber than ever before. And again, that is very much by design, that we spend too much time brainwashing kids, and the government teaches them how to think. And then the government provides them not with a pathway for independence, but for dependence on government. And this is what happens. And this is why I've said that in my lifetime, we are going to see an absolute changing of America. Because when the far left controls most of the media and controls 95% of our public schools, there's not going to be any turning back as these kids become the people who vote. And so, it's much easier to impose socialism on uneducated people It's just pure and simple. And so we may have a stopgap for a few more years, but I see an inevitability in the next 10 to 20 years of where it's going to go as a nation. And that, you know, the phrase that AOC always uses, that we are in late stage capitalism. And that's the dream. And that's what kids are being taught in the schools. And so what are you going to do? Okay. Other stuff going on. Let's go to the presidential campaign trail where Joe Biden's son, Hunter, had a disastrous appearance on ABC News this morning, where he was talking about his shady Ukraine dealings, had no expertise in oil and gas and energy. And yet when his dad was vice president, he got hired to a $50,000 a year or a month job, $50,000 a month. And he also proved that his dad, Joe, has been lying out on the campaign trail.
Did you and your father ever discuss Ukraine?
No. As I said, the only time was after a news account, and it wasn't a discussion in any way. There's no but to this. No, we never did.
Your dad said, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do.
And I said, I do. And that was literally the end of our discussion.
Why?
Because my dad was vice president of the United States. There's literally nothing as a young man or as a full-grown adult that my father in some way hasn't had influence over, as it does not serve either one of us.
When he said, I hope you know what you're doing, what did he think you were doing?
Well, he read the press reports that I joined the board of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian natural gas company.
His dad read it in a press report? What kind of father-son relationship is that? And of course, there since then, a picture has emerged of Joe and Hunter Biden and one of the Ukrainian energy executives playing golf together. So it just, you know, proves it's all been a lie.
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so
here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question.
Yeah, well, just Trump. How my son got a $50,000 a month job. Best 15's next.